We'll begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll go from there. So, Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the gift that you've given us and how we can have your word. I thank you that we can share that, and I thank you that we can talk about it. I thank you that we can even discuss it and speak our hearts about that. But in amongst all of that, we need you. Without the Holy Spirit, Scripture doesn't mean anything to us. So we need you, Lord. We need you to be able to provide everything that needs to be given through this message here. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the people here willing to receive it. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to begin as I have been, is that we know right now that in the center of our life is Jesus Christ, and we also have this word in there, this believe, that we need to believe what he says is true. Last week we talked about righteousness needs to be within that circle as well. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from Christ. And it's an integral aspect of believing in Christ and to allow God to work in us. His righteousness is by far, you know, what we need, but there isn't anything that we can do in which to earn that righteousness. We just need to have his righteousness. This week we're going to be looking at the justice that goes along with that within there. So the scripture that brought up, you know, these particular items, and you'll even see what's going to be there for next week, is this one here in Psalm 89:14. It says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." So we've looked at righteousness as part of that foundation. Today we're going to be looking at justice as being that foundation of God's throne. I want you to remember this scripture, because when we get to the end, you're going to see the foundation that kind of is there. And we'll be able to tie everything in. So when we look at this word justice, you know, it's like it's out there, and it seems like there's an awful lot of words being thrown around. And sometimes you wonder what the word justice means. Well, I've got some dictionary scriptures of meanings of it. I've got three of them here. So let's look at the first one. Basically means a principle that people receive that which they deserve. We can look at that justice and say, oh yeah, they got what they deserve because the way they're living or the things they say, you know, that's coming towards them. That's their justice that we can have. We can also look at it as agreed to principles for the coordination and structure of social interaction that would benefit all who are subject to them. So within our system or society, we have to have a form of justice in order to make it run and work, which we all can kind of agree to and everything like that, which is good. And then we can also look out as like maybe it's the moral correctness based on ethics, rationality, law, religion, equity, and fairness. And so looking at all of these and kind of putting together, it's like, how does that even fit into the Christian faith? You know, because a lot of these things are worldly. Well, the definition that we're looking at here come from worldly books, right? So we're going to take that, and we're going to turn it around and try to find out what, when we talk about justice in Christ, what does that really, really mean for us? Well, we have in Micah, I put Micah up there twice, two different translations, and sometimes we try to understand what justice is, but maybe we just need to do justice. So maybe Scripture speaks to that as well, and this is what it says. In Micah 6:8, it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" That's the NAS version. If we look at the NIV version, which I usually use, in Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So whether we do justice or whether we act justly, this is kind of an expectation that God has of us. Would you say then that it's just something that we need to have in our head, that justice is just like a term, a definition that we need to know? Kind of looks like in Scripture, it looks like something that we have to do. That's an action. That the justice that we we show in Christ needs to be done, moved upon, be part of our lives, because this is what the God is requiring of us, to act justly, to do justice. I'm going to ask you, is that an easy thing to do? Maybe not. Maybe not. But we're going to still continue. We're going to dive in a little bit about this and to see what we have. Well, there's this word justice. I don't really use a lot of the Hebrew words and stuff like that, but I wanted to explain it today because it'll give us another definition of what justice is. In Hebrew, mitzvah or mishpat is the Hebrew word, and there's a long definition and everything, but if you kind of just sum it up and everything, make it really short, it says to give people their due or to treat people fairly. And this word, mishpat, is used over and over and over in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. It's constantly being used. In fact, sometimes when you read in the Hebrew, and we translate it into the English, we take one English word that really means like four or five or six different Hebrew words kind of summed together, because we don't have a word in the English dictionary to be able to explain everything. But it's kind of funny about this one is like there's only one real definition of justice. And it's used throughout Scripture, which is kind of unique. I don't usually see that when I'm kind of looking up words through the... A blue liturgy that I look through sometimes to understand some of the words, which is kind of neat. So let's look at sometimes what we're looking for in the terms of justice through Scripture. Habakkuk, I think Lori mentioned Habakkuk before. We're going to be using Habakkuk in the beginning and actually at the very end of our Scripture or message as well. But Habakkuk is he begins a plea to God in his prayer. And this is the prayer that he begins with. So if we go to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. He says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Now, this is Habakkuk. This is a godly man that's living in a sinful world. And he's pleading to God, saying, "Seriously? You cannot see this? Why are you not taking action? Because if I can see this injustice that's out there, and this thwarting of the foot of the evil people stepping on righteousness and your justice, why are you not acting? Why do I have to live through all of this?" And what we're looking for is, Habakkuk is looking for God to do justice to those evildoers, those idol worshipers, the ones that are taking advantage of the older people or the aliens, or maybe they're taking advantage of families, putting people into servitude for the years and years and years because they can't pay off their debt. And not even following, the laws of Moses. And what's really scary and everything is Habakkuk isn't just talking about the world out there. He's talking about the Jewish nation. Lord, can you not see this from your own people? Are you going to allow this to continue? Enact some form of justice now. Because it's so rampant, and it's going on and on and on and on, and how people are just struggling. It just never seems to end. And we can look at this in Scripture, and we can kind of see that as being a form of, injustice here, that we need to have justice. So this is what we're looking at. This is what we kind of live through. Let's do a New Testament one here. In Luke 11:42, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, he says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God." He continues and said, "You should have practiced the latter, which is justice and the love of God, without leaving the former undone." So here there's leaders, church leaders, the Pharisees, the ones that are teaching the people out there, "Do as I say, but not as I do." Right? They're not willing to give justice what should be done, but they'll give their tenth of their little herbs and little tiny things, you know, to make it look good. But the things that they're supposed to be doing, to enact justice and love their God, that's out the door. So what good is that tenth of that, or that offering that you're giving, if you're not doing the things that God has commanded us to do? So we can look at this and say, yeah, let's get some justice to do on them because of being leaders, right? They're not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And then we can kind of look at justice in another way over here, is that in Deuteronomy 27:19, it says, "Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien," that's the foreigner, "the fatherless, or the widow." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." So we're looking at justice isn't just so much about persecuting or getting things right with those that are doing something wrong, but it also seems to be helping those that are being wronged. And let's look at this here. So we got another one in Proverbs 31:8-9. He says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." We can understand that too, that they have rights, but maybe they don't have, you know, the ability, the money, in order that, like the rich people have, to be able to defend themselves, and so they end up, you know, losing the court battles more often. Or maybe they just have to give in, period, and they're taken advantage of. Why are we not having justness done for them? Zechariah speaks about this too in 7:8-10. He says, "And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice." Remember, that first scripture that we had, we were supposed to do justice. That's what God requires us to do. "Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other." Pretty strong words in terms of doing justice or being justly. And we can look at it from these two different perspectives as we set up over there. So let's look at this justice. I'll put it down in some frames over here. So justice is corrective, and it's also about restoring. Correcting those people that are doing injustices and helping those that seem to have the effects of injustice put on them. So punishment for the guilty and protection for the innocent is what we're looking for in terms of justice. We're also looking at maybe retribution for the wrongdoer, but reparations for the victim. We can also say, bring down those that step on others and bring up others that are being stepped on. In terms that we can look at that as being the justice that we should be looking for in this world where there's an awful lot of injustices around, as Habakkuk was actually explaining and talking about. But if we look at this justice in Christ, there's this word that comes up repeatedly in Scripture, and it really ties in, is that justice in Christ is really about relationships. Relationships with those that are doing something wrong and some those that are being persecuted. And what you're trying to do is to restore both of those relationships. In the eyes of Christ, it's really what justice is about. We tend to think that justice is all about hurting that person that's hurting someone else, or giving to something that's been taken away from somebody else. But what God's looking at is that He's trying to develop that relationship with those individuals. And we're going to look at that, explore that a little bit more. I just got a couple more comments down here that I put in there. It says, to do justice, really, that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? To do justice is to acknowledge a problem and to act to correct it. So if you see somebody hurting somebody, you should do something about it. If you see somebody being hurt, you should do something about it. It's what God has always told us to do, right? I mean, when He separates the sheep and the goat in that parable in the scripture, where it talks about those that, you know, go to those that are in prison, those who gave a drink to somebody, those who gave food to somebody, gave clothing to somebody. And those people said, Christ, when did we ever see you in that situation and do it? He said, well, when you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. And then the goats, just the opposite. When did we see you doing that? He says, when you haven't done it for any of these. Right? So you see that something needs to be done and you do something about it. To do justice is to act towards a relational success. And when I say that relational success, what we're looking at is be able to restore a relationship that's been broken. And you can see that because there's a lot of broken relationships. Barb, what did you just tell me this morning? Do you mind sharing that now, or is that too much? Yeah.
Yes, because I gave him the copy of our school glances with all of the seniors' pictures on there. And I think in the whole class, there are probably 3, maybe 4, whose parents are together.
Isn't that something? Yeah, 3 or 4 families of all the graduating seniors are together. The rest of them are split. Hey, there has to be some form of restoration. That continuing that in a cycle going on and on from one generation to the next generation and stuff like that, there becomes less and less and less families that are bound together because of injustices within that relationship between the husband and the wife. Whatever reason that might be, whether there's, you know, an adulterous affair in there, whether there's lack of trust, whether there's, you know, things that were said, I don't know. But it seems to be that justice really is about relationships with people. So we get into some more words about what God has to say about justice. In Isaiah 61:8, says, "For the Lord, I, the Lord, love justice." And we can understand that because it's the justice is really what needs to be set forth, because the rights need to be wronged and those that are wronged need to be brought up. It says, "I hate robbery and iniquity." And it's funny they would put robbery and iniquity. So robbery is like stealing something from somebody. But what is Jesus or God speaking about here when He says He hates robbery? What are we stealing? Stealing the idea of the relationship of what God is supposed to have with us, but it's now stolen to a different type of relationship, a relationship with Satan. And the iniquity is just evil. So anything that pulls you away from God is what God hates. But He loves justice. So let's look at, again, a little bit more over here. So we're going to be looking at in Isaiah 59, 12 through 15. It's kind of a prayer that Isaiah is speaking about, I think what he would really like for the hearts of the individuals. He's praying for the nation to God and recognizing that the nation has faltered and that they really need to be restored back. That relationship with Israel needs to be restored back to God. And he says this here, "For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whatever shuns evil becomes a prey. Can you imagine that? If you want to be right with God, then you become the prey of everybody around you. How hard that must be. That if you want to have a right relationship with God, you will be mocked. You will be made an example of in society, in the Jewish society, which is so bad. So sometimes there's an awful lot to overcome, especially when we are in this world and we think we're with God, right with God, but yet maybe we don't understand that this world seems to influence us an awful lot. Well, I can't go talk to my sister about God because she's going to get mad at me, and I don't want to get her to get mad at me, so I'm just never going to bring that up for a topic. Well, my sister doesn't want anything to do with God. But when we sit down for a family dinner and stuff like that, even when we get together occasionally as it is, you know, I love my mom and stuff because she's always like, Mike, you going to say a blessing? I'm like, sure! My sister will never ask for that. But it's there, you know, and just our example of how we live and the things that we do. And my sister is a good person. She really is. She's got a heart for others and for her family and everything. She just doesn't want to know anything about the Lord. So what happens then is that when justice is driven back and righteousness that we've talked about last week is at a distance, all that is pushed off to the side, to the perimeter of our property, but it's not in our property, not in our blue circle that we have and everything. What happens is things get twisted. Our understanding of what's right and wrong gets twisted. So here it says in Amos 6:12, he says, do horses run on the rocky crags? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison, the fruit of righteousness into bitterness. Right? Oxen and horse don't belong on a hill, you know, rocky ledge and stuff like that, trying to plow a ground. And yet we as, you know, non-believers or people that are going away from God, this is what we end up doing. We're trying to make something where there isn't something there. And God can see it just as plain as ever. And you can put in this little thing. It's like, you know, you can't get an oxen up on a rocky ledge and plow a ground. Or that makes no sense. Well, guess what? It makes no sense to make your own justice. So I think you're really smart and you understand what justice is all about. You might be barking up the wrong tree. You might be going in an area where really God doesn't want you to go. I think we've got another one here. And this over here, when Isaiah 32:1, we're talking about, it says, see, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. And I'm one of these guys, I have to look up, what's the difference between reigning and what's the difference between ruling? A reigning is like a period of time in which there's a king, no particular king. So a king may reign for 16 years or 30 years or a short period of time, and that's their reign. But during their reign, what they do is that they rule, enact some form of justice within their kingdom. That's what they do. Leaders. They enact justice. As Christians, we are supposed to do justly in our lives. Live justly. We're supposed to do justice in all the way through here. So, when we look at this, I want to step back a little bit now and put some notes up on the screen over here. So, justice in Christ is not about. So I always like doing sometimes a negative. Sometimes we can understand that a little better. It makes it more sense. More like, well, if it's not that, then it's got to be something else. So let's look at this. And this is going to be pretty simple. And you're going to say, oh, maybe yeah, maybe not. But it's like, let's just see what we can come through. Justice isn't about me. I'm going to just come right out and say that. Right? Because within me, my rights have been violated. And I want justice. We see that all the time. But what if I remove that from the picture of what justice is? What's left? Well, maybe we have this. Justice isn't about them. Look what they've done. Right? We can say, they're wrong, or they have been wronged. Justice isn't about, again, our perception of what we think should be done. Whether you have to stop somebody from doing something or help somebody. Justice really isn't about society either. What's best for society? Well, let's just get a set of rules that we can all get along and then we'll be fine. That's not justice. Not in Christ. Maybe it's a one last one I've got over here. It isn't about the just the plain judicial system that we have. Right? We can debate that all we want in terms of, you know, our judicial system here in the United States versus judicial systems in other countries, which is right, which is wrong, which has benefits and everything. But really, what laws have been followed and what laws have not been followed in terms of, you know, the penal system. If I said justice in Christ has nothing to do with that, then what does justice have to do with? Which is my next slide. We're going to bring that up and see if we can come up with it. So justice in Christ is this here, the foundation of God Himself. And if we can start looking at what justice is, what God is, then our original perception of justice starts to change a little bit. Because we trust our government to be just. We trust our town, our job, our boss to be just in all the dealings within our lives and everything like that. And we look at that as being just. But being just in Christ is just having the understanding that, like it says, it's the foundation of God Himself. That He is a just God. And we have to understand that then justice comes from Him. Right? A Christian sense of justice points us to God. Not to the government, not to the Pharisees, not to whatever. But justice points us to God because He is the foundation. Remember, what did the Israelites do? But they took justice and they made it poison. They twisted it to fit their own desires, their own needs. If you want true justice, then you better seek God because that's the only place you're going to find justice. And I'm talking that true justice. Because that is who God is. If we can get to that understanding, then some of these proverbs, I'm going to throw up two proverbs here, will make a lot more sense to us maybe. Because it says here in Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Because we know where justice comes from. But God Himself. Those that are evil do not recognize who God is, and so justice makes no sense to them. Because it's all about what this person wants or what that person wants, and the justice changes from season to season, place to place, time to time, situation to situation. But we as Christians, we can understand justice because we know where it comes from, and that's really seeking the Lord. Or this other scripture here in Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. but terror to the evildoers. Think about this. What is the coming event that we Christians are waiting for, anticipating, and living our lives for right now, but the return of Christ? Right? And Christ is God, who is justice, so that when justice comes, we as Christians, we're praising God. Ah, He's finally here. But think about those evildoers. What's going to happen to those non-believers?
Every knee shall bow.
Yeah. Think about that in terms of the scripture that we've got here, in terms of justice in Christ is different than the justice that we have around this world. So when we're speaking about putting justice in our little circle, I'm not talking about don't put that worldly justice in that circle of yours. Put justice in Christ in that circle, knowing that all justice comes from God, because that's just who He is through and through. So Jesus even speaks about this, and he talks about this little parable about this woman that goes to this judge, and she's pleading her case. He never does anything because he's an unjust judge, right? He doesn't care about what this woman feels or anything like that. But she keeps knocking on his door. I need you to do something. I need you to take it. Take responsibility and do this. Take care of this because it's hurting me or hurting my family or whatever it is, or someone else is being hurt. But she's got a cause, and she's going to be in front of that guy's face over and over and over and over again. And finally he relents and says, I know I'm an unjust God and I could really care less about this woman, but I'm going to do some justice for her just to get her off my back. Right? So that's what Scripture kind of says in Mike's voice here. But then Jesus continues a little bit. In Luke 18:6-8 says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Right? He's going to do what's just to get her out. And then he says, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones? Your Father, will He not be just for you, who cry out to Him day and night? Well, look at the prayers. I love that time where we can praise God and we can put our petitions before God. I am not going to put a quench on that. I've been to other churches where they have that, and it's really awesome. But then it takes too much of the church service. So they say, oh, you only give, like a 20-second prayer request. And then they get to a point almost like, no, you've got to put it on a little piece of paper and I'll just mention the name up here so that we know that God knows what's out there, just the name's out there and everything. And it's like, that's the whole, you're losing the whole aspect of what church is about. That sense of relationship with you and me and the rights and the wrongs, and asking God for justice in our prayers. We ask for healing as a form of justice. We ask for those that don't know God to have a relationship with Him, because it's all about relationships and within that. But look at this, what He's saying. He's, we're crying out to Him day and night. Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, this is Jesus saying this, I tell you, He will see that they get justice. They'll get God. And quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Do people just give up praying when they feel like justice hasn't arrived? That God doesn't answer our prayers because He doesn't answer it our way. Even when it seems to be like a struggle over and over and over and over again, and it seems like it's an unrelenting battle that just never ends. Where's the justice in that? We think about that. But see, we're looking for a worldly justice is what we're looking for. We need to continually praise God, seek Him. That's where you find justice in Christ. So we're looking at this, and we're going to go back to Isaiah again. But it talks about the shoot of Jesse. And out of the stump will come a shoot. And that Jesse is, the father of David. And David comes, but then we also have, out of the lineage of David, we have Christ that comes. And I want you to look at this, the scripture here where we're going to be talking about that. And it's Isaiah 11, 3 through 5. And he says about this that will come. He says, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. And I like that because when we're talking about Christ, he's not moved just by what he sees, not moved by just what he hears. It says here, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. You see, his standard doesn't change based upon our cries. His justice is always consistent. When we talk about the God that was, is, and will be, is the same, his justice doesn't change either. Because that is the foundation of who God is. It says that he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. I like this scripture because God's justice doesn't change. He hears our cries. He hears our pleas. And he will act justly on all of those. And that's important to remember because we're going to be looking at this next scripture here. Let's look at his act of justly, right? We're supposed to act justly. Well, Christ came to this earth, right? As man and fully God. Was he expected to act justly? Of course he was, right? So let's look at his act of being a just God in a human form. In Romans 3, 25 to 26, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. We know what we're talking about, right? Christ being put on that cross, not because he sinned, but because we sinned, and God is trying to restore that relationship between man and God, right? So he sent his son to sacrifice, be a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time. So to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. How many times do you see God being just in that scripture right there? His form of justice is dying on the cross for you and for me. Do we deserve him dying on the cross for us? Absolutely not. Do we deserve that? No. But God's form of justice is not man's form of justice. That's a demonstration of God's justice. He paid the price for our sin. Even though we should have paid that price. That is true justice in God's eyes. When we look at God, we need to look at Him differently than just a man from this world here. He's not of this world. His ways are way beyond what we can even conceive. So when we look at God, and we look at justice, what we're really looking at in all of this is not just some form of enactment or answer to our prayers and everything. We're just looking to God and trusting that everything that He has and will do will be just. And you know what that does to my heart? My anxiety levels drop because I can just trust Him and His ways, even though it may not make sense, but it gives me an uplift that I don't have to worry about those things from day to day because I trust that God's justice will prevail, even in this world. We're going to go back to Habakkuk at the very end. I showed you the very beginning of Habakkuk. I'm going to go to the very end of Habakkuk now, right? And we're looking at, it seems like God doesn't really answer his plea. And we're going to see that there seems to be an awful lot of destruction around him. That there's like drought. There's like loss of crops. There's loss of income. There's loss of jobs. There's loss of this, loss of that, loss of everything. But I want you to see the heart of Habakkuk in all of this, because it really needs to be our heart as well. So in Habakkuk 3, 16 through 18, it says, I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. And I'm just thinking of a person, you know, half starved, at the point of death, you know, not being able to move, because they're, you know, you're kind of paralyzed with the things that are around you. He says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. You get this picture of what's out there, right? There's nothing but death that's out there. And then he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. Now there is a man that has found justice in God. Because this world isn't going to have it. That brings peace. God's justice in that little blue circle that we have, right, gives us comfort, knowing that He will enact His judgment according to His will. And I trust Him regardless of what affects me, because what's most important is my relationship with God. And justice restores that relationship. How do I know that? Let's go back to the verse we just looked at before in Romans. God acting justly restored my relationship with God. With Him. By allowing His Son to go on the cross and die for our sins. That makes no sense to the non-believer. But to the believer, that is everything that we hang on to. Because without it, we have nothing. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we can read Scripture that He did it because He is a just God. Because of that, we can have that righteousness that's before us. And now we can have His justice in our circle as well. Don't worry about what's going on in that world. There's always going to be struggles. There's always going to be pains. Pray about it. Bring it before the Lord. Habakkuk, a prophet of God, did that very thing. But trust God's justice. His timing is perfect, even when it seems like it's not for us. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for this word here today, and I just thank you for justice. We tend to confuse it so much with the world's justice, but yours is so much better. Yours is pure. And if we just look to you, we find justice the way it should be. Father, I just thank you, and I just continue to keep this. Keep this ball rolling, Lord, in terms of what it is that you want us to do and what our lives should be and how we should be perceiving you and the things around us and what it is that we are to do. You've told us that you require us to do justice, to act justly. Father, we can only do that if we act justly in Christ.